In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
What is wisdom? Is it a kind of knowledge that is deep and profound, learned by esoteric study of only the most ancient of texts? Is it experience that has been gained by going to the hard-knock school of life? Is it nothing more than a bunch of sayings that make sense when you hear them, but you never really thought about those sayings before? That these are all things that, yeah, I knew that. That's very practical. The purpose of looking into wisdom this Lenten season in the year of our Lord 2026 is because it fits nicely with the idea of penitence, reflection, and learning from our sins. It has nothing to do with what the world considers wisdom. We will not be discussing all the ways to grow your business, have a successful life, or perhaps, if I may dare say so, live your best life now. Instead, we will be discussing what God considers wisdom. And there is no better place to look for wisdom except in the Bible. There is an entire divinely inspired book on that matter that we call Proverbs. Proverbs is a compilation of sayings from the wisest man that ever lived and a few other folks. Most were written by King Solomon, David's son, and were intended for everyone to benefit from. But many of his sayings are addressed to his son. King Solomon was concerned. He was concerned with leaving behind wisdom for his son so that he may not be led astray and that his son becomes just as wise as he was. In that same manner, God, our Father, wishes for us to be wise, so he gave us these words, as well as the words of all Scripture, to learn from. And for the next several weeks, we will be taking in the whole of Proverbs, looking at themes and things that maybe are a bit more particular to us in our time. But before he begins his 29 or so chapter discourse on things his son ought to know, he lays out several things that we need to know about wisdom. And what is it? What is wisdom? What is the use of it? How do we acquire it? The first four chapters are devoted to answering this question. Proverbs opens as thus: to know wisdom and instruction, to perceive the words of understanding, to receive the instruction of wisdom, justice, judgment, and equity, to give prudence to the simple, to the young man, knowledge and discretion. A wise man will hear and increase learning, and a man of understanding will attain wise counsel. To understand a proverb and an enigma, the words of the wise and their riddles, the fear of the Lord is the beginning of knowledge, but fools despise wisdom and instruction. Solomon begins by informing us how to attain wisdom and what wisdom is used for. But it ends with a crucial statement. The crux of Scripture as a whole, as you would have it, it all begins with the fear of the Lord. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom, the beginning of knowledge. If we wish to acquire anything from Proverbs and from the Bible, we must first have the fear of the Lord. And what does it mean to fear the Lord? It means submitting our will, our intellect, our desires, and our heart to God's will and his intellect and his heart. It is acknowledging that we are nothing but a lowly creation to God, of God, that we are merely dust, and to dust we shall return, and that God is the source of all knowledge and goodness and life. And we have began taking that first step this evening in that submission to God's will and way and intellect by taking these ashes upon our foreheads. In doing so, you have acknowledged, whether you knew it or not, that you are nothing more than the dust of the earth, and that it is God who has given us life. With that, we are ready to plunge the depths of wisdom. But why? What is the reason? Is it wisdom for wisdom's sake? Just so we can be wise and, you know, say that we're a bunch of know-it-alls? No. At least that's what Solomon says. In chapter 1, verses 8 through 19, Solomon warns his son of the enticement of sinners, that his son may be able to discern when a sinner or evildoer comes to him in an effort to lead him off the path of righteousness. He warns him. He says, "Son, they will come. And they will say, 'Come with us. Let us lie in wait to shed blood. Let us lurk secretly for the innocent without cause. Let us swallow them alive like Sheol, and whole like those who go down to the pit. We shall find all kinds of precious possessions. We shall fill our houses with spoil. Cast in your lot among us. Let us all have one purse.'" Solomon tells us to flee from these kinds of people, for their way only leads to death. We cannot possibly know their intent without having the wisdom to discern their intent. We cannot know the difference between the righteous and the unrighteous, the sinner and the believer, without wisdom. Hence, this is why Solomon tells his son to avoid their call. And instead of listening to their call, he says, "Son, there is another whose call you shall listen to. Listen to the call of wisdom." Solomon describes wisdom as a woman. Now, why a woman? Well, Solomon was writing this to his son. For his son, a young man who will be attracted to whatever is shiny and glitters like gold, he needed to put something in front of him that appeals him. And what is more appealing to a young man than a woman? So, it is a portrayal of what wisdom is like. In a similar manner, you can portray wisdom as an old, wise man. But for the young man, that doesn't seem attractive enough. And who is this Lady Wisdom? This Lady Wisdom that cries out in the streets. In verses 20 through 31 of chapter 1, Wisdom is calling all to come and listen to her, to come and listen to what she has to say and to turn from your sinful, simple, and immature ways. Because the way of the simple, the foolish, and the immature, who do not wish to grow in wisdom, well, their way is one of destruction. She makes this very clear and promises that those who listen to her, seek her diligently, and receive her reproof will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Now that Solomon has painted for us in his son a picture of what wisdom is like, he tells us the value of listening to Lady Wisdom. He says in chapter 2, verses 5 through 9, that if you seek wisdom and follow in her ways, you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. He stores up sound wisdom for the upright. He is a shield to those who walk uprightly. He guards the paths of justice and preserves the way of his saints. Then you will understand righteousness and justice, equity and every good path. In receiving all these good things about wisdom and understanding that this truly is the best way to walk, this is who we ought to listen to, we are now equipped to be delivered from what Solomon calls the forbidden woman, the adulteress. Now, Solomon not only means this literally for his son, as we will see more warnings against associating with strange women, but he is painting a picture of what wickedness and foolishness looks like in contrast to Lady Wisdom. Miss Folly, as we will call her, is described as one who forsakes the companion of her youth and forgets the covenant of her God. For her house leads down to death, and her paths to the dead. None who go to her return, nor do they regain the paths of life. The one who follows Miss Folly will be led to death. She takes you, she gives you the desires of your hearts, and then she throws you onto the pile of corpses that she has waiting for you, that is filled with all the other fools that came before us. Solomon encourages us and his son to follow Lady Wisdom instead, to learn from her, to receive life, and to be equipped to spot Miss Folly when she comes around with her smooth words and her murderous ways. But like any forbidden thing, we desire it all the more. We discard these warnings and we seek after Miss Folly. And Solomon, he knows that. He is aware that we will struggle with choosing between wisdom and foolishness. So he reinforces us some more. The world, in its foolishness, often says, why not pursue folly and sinfulness? It feels good. If it feels good, why is it so wrong? It is something that we cannot understand. If it gratifies my flesh, it must be good for me, then. The heart wants what the heart wants, is what some may say. So Solomon tells us, well, don't trust in what they say. Trust in the Lord your God with all your heart, and lean not on your understanding. In all of your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and depart from evil. It will be health to your flesh and strength to your bones. Though we may not understand it, some of these things that we will hear about these next several weeks, we must lean on God and his understanding. And we must submit our understanding to his. And in doing so, he will give us life. Solomon spends much of chapter 3 in Proverbs focusing on the goodness of Lady Wisdom and all that she offers. Her benefits are truly numerous, and her ways are one of peace, quietness, and life. In fact, we are informed that she was there in the beginning when God made the earth and the heavens. By wisdom, God established the heavens and causes the clouds to pour rain. And abiding by her goodness, statutes, and ways, we do not need to be afraid of this life and the chaos that the wicked create. Because you have this guarantee of wisdom, that the Lord will be your confidence, because his blessing is on the house of the righteous, no matter what befalls them. And it is all of this that Jesus speaks to us in tonight's gospel passage. He tells us to lay up treasures in heaven, the kind that rust and moth cannot destroy. In his Sermon on the Mount, he speaks frequently to earthly possessions, reputations, and temporal things, things that fade away. He tells us to fast privately and not make a show of fasting. Instead, when you fast, wash your face, anoint your oil on your face, and be glad. Because fasting isn't for people around you. It isn't to show off how pious you are. It isn't for them to look at you and go, man, you look really skinny these days. That fast must be paying off. You're just flesh and bones. No, do not do it to show off to people. Do it because it's for your Father in heaven who hears you in your fasting. Don't fret so much about riches is also what Jesus tells us, because either you can serve riches or you can serve God. And he follows all of that up with this little speech about treasures in heaven. He says, likewise, do not fret so much about storing treasures here on earth, but storing treasures in heaven. And what are these treasures? Well, faith and salvation are the greatest of these treasures which we store up in heaven. But wisdom is also one of these treasures. And as we go through Lent, we will see that many of these sayings and bits of wisdom that Solomon wishes to share with us are not just good for us and our physical lives, but also spiritually. They promote virtuous living and a guide for loving God and for loving our neighbor. And Solomon says as such in chapter 4 in one more exhortation to his son. He says, hear, my children, the instruction of a father, and give attention to no understanding. For I give you good doctrine. Do not forsake my law. When I was my father's son, tender and the only one in the sight of my mother, he also taught me and said to me, let your heart retain my words, keep my commands and live. Get wisdom, get understanding. Do not forget nor turn away from the words of my mouth. Do not forsake her and she will preserve you. Love her and she will keep you. Wisdom is the principal thing. Therefore, get wisdom. In all you're getting, get understanding. Exalt her and she will promote you. She will bring you honor when you embrace her. She will place on your head an ornament of grace, a crown of glory she will deliver to you. Solomon cannot say it enough. There is nothing more important in this life than achieving wisdom. The benefits are numerous. Do you wish to live a long life? Solomon says, seek wisdom. Do you wish to run and never fall, or walk and never stumble? Seek wisdom. And there's many more little things like that. Those who seek wisdom will surely be blessed and are storing up treasures in heaven by pursuing wisdom. But like any treasure, anything that is left over once you have passed on, these treasures are like an inheritance that are also passed on. Solomon is passing on these treasures of wisdom as almost as an inheritance for his son to hold on to, so that he too may live a good, long, and upright life. Wisdom is not something that is meant to be held on to by one person. It is something for everyone. Wisdom herself, as we discussed earlier, calls out for all in the streets. So, we fear the Lord. We trust not in our own understanding, and we submit to wisdom. And maybe this Lent, as we ponder on what it means to be wise, maybe we come by ourselves to Lady Wisdom, and we spread these precepts and teachings to those around us. Maybe we bring our children to her feet, and we listen to her on how we can impart to them an inheritance that will never fade away. Either way, wisdom is meant for all to share. And before I close, I wish to speak on what wisdom, the book of Proverbs, and what the next several weeks look like for the Christian. So, from what I can see, from my perspective, all of us. Wisdom is not something that is man-made, as we have seen this evening, as Solomon has told us numerous times. It is a quality of God himself. God is wisdom. The clearest statements for that is found in Proverbs 2 and 3, both chapters. The Lord by wisdom founded the earth. By understanding, he established the heavens. For the Lord gives wisdom. From his mouth comes knowledge and understanding. This understanding that wisdom comes from God is important. It is something that God gives to us. It is not something that we reach out and grasp for ourselves. It's not something that we come up with what our bright intellectual minds. No. How can one fear the Lord? What does that mean? It does mean submitting to the will, power, and majesty of God, as we said earlier, but specifically, one submits to the Lord through Christ. The beginning of wisdom is salvation. It is believing in Jesus Christ for the forgiveness of sins. It is through him that we achieve not just temporal happiness and blessings and are well provided for in our day and age, but we receive the fullness of these blessings that Solomon talks about, not just now, but also in heaven on the last day through Christ. We get long life here on earth most of the time, and that's great. But you know what's better than a long life? Eternal life. That's much longer than, well, just long, I imagine. We are well provided for on this earth, yeah? But we will have everything we truly need in eternity. A body that does not crumble and turn to dust like these frail ones that we are in now. It is with wisdom that God made the heavens and the earth. And it is by Christ that the earth and the heavens were made, as it says in John. So, piece two and two together. Christ is wisdom. And without him, without Christ, this book is meaningless. These proverbs will avail nothing to us with first having the fountain and source of all wisdom, Jesus Christ. And even with Christ, learning the proverbs does not guarantee an easier life. There are many blessings that come with it, yes. But the primary point of Proverbs is to teach us to live a righteous, godly life in harmony and love with our Creator. And oftentimes, this wisdom makes us make difficult choices that the world reprimands us for. But when they do, we simply turn to God and say that we do not trust in our understanding, and that his ways are bigger than our ways, and that his green pastures are not our green pastures. So I pray that you will ponder on this treasure that is wisdom. Today, it is a very nebulous thing, but going forward, it will be much more concrete as we learn how we are to interact with our community, like our wives, our husbands, our kids, and all of our other neighbors. We learn how our heart and our tongue function together and how from it either life comes from it or death. We learn what it means to submit totally to the will of God, even when we can't really understand quite what that will of God is. And finally, learning to find contentment in all things. And as we do, see how Christ works and comes to us. And take comfort in knowing that much of what we discuss is very much the third use of the law. Now, what do I mean like that? Vicar sure loves his doctrine this evening. But what do I mean? The law of God, right, has three functions. It's a curb to stop evil. It's a mirror to show us our sin. And it's a guide to show us how to live. Proverbs is primarily the first and third use of the law, right? It usually says, you know, in summary, you know, play stupid games, win stupid prizes. You know, do evil, pay the consequence. So there's your first use. But the third use, remember, the third use is not for the sinner, the unbeliever, rather. It's for the Christian. It's for you. The law of God, right, and this is a blessing. It's a blessing because Proverbs describes the way of wisdom as life, beauty, and peace, and the way of foolishness as death, destruction, and sin. If Christ is wisdom, then to believe in him is to walk the path of life. For the wise, Christ is life, and for the foolish, they reject him, and ultimately, they may perish. In you, dear Christian, this evening, as you submit your hearts and minds to Christ our Lord and his infinite mercy and wisdom, you have Christ. And you can say confidently, then, that you are not counted among the fools, but you are counted among the wise. So take comfort and joy and excitement in learning this Lent how we can walk that path of life in peace with Christ our Lord even more fully. And with that, you are already on your way. Amen. Now may the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, guard and keep your minds in Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen.